إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، it's always a pleasure to welcome all of you once again to our classes here at Masjid al-Tawheed in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us by the way of the information that is presented to us from our noble scholars, the ulama of Islam. Because here, alhamdulillah, we try through these classes to connect the people and ourselves with the ulama, the scholars of the deen. That's why we have books, we read from books, and our classes are based on books of the ulama. And tonight, Wednesday nights here at Masjid al-Tawheed, As-Sirah, the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, precisely from the book Mukhtasar Sirat al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لشيخ الإسلام الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. The abridged biography of our beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, of شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. اليوم موت خديجة وأبي طالب. Today, inshallah ta'ala, tonight, we will continue by this point. For those who have the books, the English translation is page 137. No, we did not. Maybe you read it at home, I don't know. No, we did not. Because I marked it, see? I mentioned it, that's what we're going to do the next class. In the Arabic text, page number 66. The death of Khadija and Abu Talib. Khadija is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He married her when he was 25 years old. Alayhi salatu wassalam wa radiyallahu anha. So he married her before he became a prophet, 15 years before he became a prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But she was older than him. And in this is a clear refutation against those who they, because when they heard that the Prophet ﷺ has 9 wives, they said that's clearly this man, he just follow his desires. Because these are the statement of ignorant people. Because if you want to follow desires, 25 years old, marrying 40 years old, and then when you look at other wives of the Prophet, they were older than him. And they were married before. The only virgin actually was Aisha radiallahu anha. But the Prophet, the ulama, they mentioned the Prophet ﷺ marriages, they were for reasons. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he was sent to teach us the religion, all aspects of the religion. So anyone who Doesn't matter who you are. If you're a father, you want to be the best father, you have to do it the way of the Prophet ﷺ, because he was a father. If you're a husband, you're married, you want to do the best job, you're going to be the best husband, well, there is one way to find out. The best way, the way of the Prophet ﷺ, he was a husband. If you have more than one wife, well, he has more than one wife. If you're married to a sister with children, well, guess what? The Prophet ﷺ, he married sisters with children. You married a sister that was already married before that? Well, guess what? Prophet ﷺ, he married women that were married before. Okay? You may marry a sister not from your tribe, not from your area or custom or traditions. Well, guess what? The Prophet ﷺ, he married women from different tribes and different, you know, customs. So what I'm saying, none of these things should be an excuse. Yeah, man, I made a mistake. Man, I shouldn't marry sister with children. What are you talking about, man? That's a mistake? For real? Yeah, man, I should have stick to one of my own people, man. Why I gotta go and marry sister from overseas or this? People, when they fail, they start blaming it on others. And they point how many fingers? One. And there's three going back at them. There's three firing at them. Yeah, I shouldn't marry sister with, she was already married. That's different if somebody, that's what he wants. That's, mashallah, that's permissible. But to blame it on that, I don't think so. So it's very important. The Prophet ﷺ, he was sent to explain to us and teach us our religion. For example, somebody is a teacher. You want to be the best teacher? See how the Prophet ﷺ did it, how he used to teach. You want to be the best imam in the salat? Well, guess what? See how the Prophet ﷺ led the salat. Those who are leaders of nations, of countries, they want to be the best leaders. Well, let's see how the Prophet ﷺ did it. Because he was a leader. You want to know if you're a good neighbor? Look no more. Go to the sunnah, the biography, the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. He was a neighbor. And this is only some examples. But what we should retain and always remember is that as Muslims, we were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to emulate the example of the Prophet ﷺ, and to follow him, to take him as the role model for us in everything we do, at home, at the masjid, at war, at peace, at the marketplaces, at the masjid, on a journey or not, when you're sick or when you're not, in times of ease and times of hardship. He is the example for us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Khadija, as we mentioned, she's one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's the mother of the believers. Because Allah says in the Quran that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are the mothers of the believers. So they are our mothers, Ikhwan. So we should respect them. And we should love them for the sake of Allah. And we should not say anything bad about them. So what about the Rafida who they slander them? Slander the companions, especially Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, sound hadith, La'natullahi ala man sabba ashabi. The la'na and the curse of Allah on those who abuse my companions. Okay? And the Rawafid, that's what they do. They abuse Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, many companions. Aisha radiallahu anha, many companions. Almost every single one of them except for a few. handful. So Khadija radiallahu anha, she's the mother of the believers. She died a few days after Abu Talib. Abu Talib died too. And Abu Talib, as we know, he's the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he raised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the death of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, Abu Talib's father, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam father's father. So Abdul Muttalib, when he died, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he grew up an orphan, and Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, he raised him. But couple years later, ulama, they said some, when he was like 6 years old, his grandfather died. And Abu Talib, his uncle, he raised him. And even after when the Prophet ﷺ received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and began to call to Islam, Abu Talib never accepted Islam. Salam. Actually, Abu Talib, that's why we don't say radiallahu anhu. Okay? Abu Talib never accepted Islam. He died upon shirk. Even though we read to you in the previous classes that Abu Talib, he used to say poetry. Well, that was easy then. Most, many Arabs, they used to, that's their dialect. That's how they used to talk to one another, through poetry, because they were, those Arabs at that time, they were very, 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 very good in Arabic. But us, we need Medina Book 1, Medina Book 2, Medina Book 3, we need this one, we need grammar, we need rules, and still, we may get it, we may not get it. Those people, they used to speak grammar, man, they need no rules. Actually, the people who make rules, they look at their what they talk, and they make the rules. Take it from them. So they used to say poetry, man. If somebody say poetry these days, man, that's special. Well, they were all special then. Quran, see the Quran, the beautiful statements, and it was revealed on their tongue. They were on a high level of Arabic. Okay? It is that's why a lot of things, man, they say, or some ahadith. Me personally, I have to refer to the English translation, man, to understand some things, because some of those words never heard before. Never. What are they? Alhamdulillah. Tayyib. So Abu Talib, he has protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He put his life in front and in danger. Remember the boycott of the canyon? So Banu Hashim left their canyon and mixed freely with the people after the annulment of the documents. Remember? Because the Quraysh, they come up with a document that said nobody marry from Banu Hashim. Banu Hashim is the tribe where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from. Nobody talk to them, nobody do business with them, nothing. They boycott them and they expel them to a canyon. Okay? And they spent there some 3 years over there in a hardship, as we talked about in the previous class. But alhamdulillah, Banu Hashim, they left their canyon and mixed freely with the people. Their departure therefrom was in the 10th year of the prophethood, not of the hijrah. Because now the Prophet ﷺ, he's still in Mecca. The hijrah started when the Prophet ﷺ left Mecca to Medina. So when we say the 10th year, we're still in Mecca now. No hijrah yet. Okay? There's no such thing hijrah yet. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he's still in Mecca. So in the 10th year, since the Prophet ﷺ began to call the people to Islam. Okay? That's when they have left the canyon. And Abu Talib died 6 months after that. Abu Talib died. And of course, now the Prophet ﷺ has left one of his supporters, you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things for reasons. We don't know. Some of us, when we're afflicted, man, you get sick, like that's it. He lose his job. Oh, I'm done. You mean you're done? Who gave you that first job to begin with? Huh? If you ask the same person, who gave you that job?
Well, the manager, man, I know him. We went together, same high school.
Oh, yeah, really? The manager gave you the job? You got to sit in classes of Tawheed, man, on Saturday morning. So you learn who gives who. Who gives the jobs? Allah, man. That manager, he just must. If Allah didn't want it for you, the manager is going to say to you, like he says to so many people before you, sorry, man. Yeah, you got potential, but not with us. Very wrong. You hear a statement like that. But you know what? Your curriculum is... hold on a minute. They take a phone call. That should tell you something. You know, they avoid to tell you, listen, man, we don't need you. So, here now, Abu Talib died. And then, a few days after that, Khadija radiallahu anha died. SubhanAllah. A few days later. And the tribulation inflicted on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his people increased after their deaths. Meaning after the death of Abu Talib and the death of Khadija radiallahu anha. And they acted insolently towards him and demonstrated violence against him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they tried to kill him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Allah prevented them from doing so. Now, especially now when the harm comes from your people, man. This is not some strangers coming from somewhere and try to harm him. You know what I'm saying? Actually, it has more impact when it comes from the people that you grow up with and your family member. Some of them, many of my family, they related. They grow up. He knows them. And especially, it was amazing, they know him. For the first 40 years of his life, this is the trustworthy. This is the man. This is nobody like this man, this young man. He's the best amongst us. Everybody can tell you that. Okay? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented them from doing so. Okay? Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhum said, I came to them and found that the notable among them had already gathered in al-Hijr. And they mentioned the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning now the Quraysh, they gathered. The noble, meaning the elites from them, the leaders of every tribe. They gather in al-Hijr by the Kaaba. And they said, our patience with him, meaning with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our patience with him has been without parallel. Meaning they never been patient with somebody before than they are with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has disdained, and they give the reasons why. They says, meaning, with all of what he's doing, and we're still being patient with him all this time. Like they saying to themselves, that's it, no more patience with this man. All right? They said he has disdained our patience and forbearance, insulted our forefathers, and divided our society. And while they were saying this, he approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He approached and touched the Yemeni corner. And when he passed by them, they began to wink at him. The Yemeni corner is a part of the Kaaba. The Kaaba has four corners. Because it's like square. Like almost a square, okay? Okay? So, and it has four corners.
The Yemeni corner is the one right before the corner where the black stone is. You see the wall? It's like this. Like, let's see this wall right here when the brothers is here. If this is, yes, because you gotta come this way. Counterclockwise, huh? You go against the clock. Okay, so counter clock, huh?
Yes.
Huh? So if this is the Hajar al-Aswad in here, this is right here. The Yemeni is in the other one, that corner. And it's like this. Maybe that's the same distance too, mashallah. Maybe a little less. Maybe it's the same. Huh? Hmm. Maybe less. Huh? No, more. More than the red, though. I think more than the red. Or maybe it seems long because you're not moving. You're like this. Because it's crowded, Akhi, it's crowded. Maybe that's why it seems to me longer than this. Because, hey, you ain't going nowhere. Because you want to move, but what is the problem? It's not your knees. What's the problem? You got 350 people in front of you. And you can't push them because it's not even from the Sunnah. And even if it's not from the Sunnah, hey, you can't push 350 people at one time. It's right there. Sometimes you just stop, especially when Hajj, when you make Tawaf al-Ifada, sometimes they be pushing you backward. And you think like, that's it, man, you can't go nowhere. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. But still, I can take it anytime. Inshallah. You know? That's a beautiful experience, man. So here's the Prophet ﷺ, he came. And the Hajar al-Yamani now, you get it from when you come from the Malik al-Fahd ibn Abdul Aziz, from Dar al-Tawheed. Okay, if you come from the Malik Fahd, and that's what Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan shared when he used to come and teach right there, subhanAllah. And Sheikh Wasila Abbas on the bottom, right there in the area. Alright, so they start to wink at him, and winking at one another to, that's no good. That's not permissible. Two brothers winking and like, meaning look at him, look, check him out. That's not permissible. Can't do that. You got something to say to the brother, go and talk to him. I say, ain't no winking in this one, all right? You go to him, say, Salaamu Alaikum, hey, mashallah, this and this and this, and that's it. And your intention has to be pure before you talk to somebody. And it is reported in a hadith that he said to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the second circuit, I warn you of death. They said to him, O Abu al-Qasim, you are not an ignorant person to say what you have just said. So depart respectfully. Now, on the following day, they gathered and said, you said what you said until he came to you with that which you hate, and then you stopped. Okay? And then you stopped. Meaning you let him go? You were ready to do something, but now when he came, you let him go? So while they were thus engaged, he appeared before them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, go to him as one man, for I have seen Uqba ibn Amir, ibn Abu Mu'ayt, gathering up his lower garments. And Abu Bakr stood next to him
And he was crying and saying, would you kill a man for saying my Lord is Allah? Allah. Would you kill a man for saying my Lord is Allah? And this report by Imam al-Bukhari on the authority of Urwa ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhuma. Urwa ibn Zubayr, his father was Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, one of the 10 of the companions that was given the glad tidings of Jannah. Tayyib, we need 9 brothers to raise their hands. Okay? Hey, istabiqul khayrat, compete. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Ay, na'am. Okay. 9. Ayyub. Tayyib. Now, whoever raises his hands first, raise it again. Alright. You. Tayyib. Now, these 9 brothers, they're going to give me, each one of them, what is the remaining of the 10 companions. Now, we mentioned one. Sajid, which one?
Zubayr
ibn al-Awwam. Ahsant. Are you with me? Barakallahu fiqh. Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. Alright. Tayyib. Now, yes, you're going to give me an order now. At least the first four. Naam.
Abu Bakr as-Siddiq.
Speak up.
Abu Bakr as-Siddiq.
Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Huh? Radiallahu anhu. Naam.
Umar
al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Ahsant. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu.
Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu.
Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu.
Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu.
Ali ibn Abi Talib
radiallahu
anhu. Ayna.
Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu.
You raise your hand? You did? Tafaddal. Huh? Zayd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'id?
Sa'ad.
Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas. Ahsant. Sa'ad. Naam. How many so far?
7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Naam, Uthman.
Abdurrahman ibn Awf.
Nah, that's a replica, man. That's he already said it.
He already said it?
You got another one? Uthman ibn Affan? Okay, go ahead. Huh? Ubaidullah. Talha ibn Ubaidullah. Naam. Ahsant. Two more. Somebody was before Ayyub. Who was before Ayyub?
Abdullah.
What's going on, Abdullah? It's all right, Akhi. You try. Naam. Why, they say what you have in your mind?
No.
Which one?
Abdul Rahman ibn Auf.
Okay, say it again. I would love to hear it from you.
Abdul Rahman ibn Auf.
Ahsant, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf. Okay, now we have Ayyub and we have a brother over there, right? Ayyub.
Sa'id ibn Zubayr.
No. No Sa'id ibn Zubayr in this one. Naam.
Ubaidah al-Jarrah.
Ahsant. Wa kadalik. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Naam. Wa last one. The last one. Ay naam. Naam. Sa'id ibn Zayd. Ahsant. Sa'id ibn Zayd. Radiallahu anhum ajma'een, all of them. Alright, I was saying that because we mentioned Urwa ibn Zubayr. Urwa is the son of Zubayr. Nah.
No, that's what I was going to say.
Alright, say it again.
Urwa is the son of Zubayr.
And who's his mother?
His mother is.
Don't say anything.
Say it. Now, the daughter of the Prophet. Sorry. Can I get it back?
Yeah, take that back. Yeah, you better take it back. You better take it back.
No. I'm trying to think of her name. I'm getting nervous. Everybody looking at me.
Time's up.
Okay.
Who's her father? Okay.
Abu Bakr.
Ahsan, Abu Bakr. And who's her sister?
Fatima.
Nah.
See, look this way.
See. Well, see now, they just look at you for not even 10 seconds. They're looking at me every day. You gotta like ask Allah to keep us fair, Makhi. You know, Asma bint Abi Bakr. That's his mother, radiallahu anha. And Urwa, he was one of the great scholars in Medina. He was not a companion, he was from the Tabi'een. His brother Abdullah was, and he was from Khayrat Tabi'een, from the Imams of the Tabi'een, along with Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib and others in Medina. There is a story about him, subhanAllah. Imam al-Dhahabi mentioned in Sir A'lam al-Nubala, because he was a great scholar, this man. Urwa ibn al-Zubayr. And he learned a great knowledge from his aunt, Aisha radiallahu anha. But once, when he was in his old, he was older, he went to Iraq, traveled to Iraq, and he was sick. Something was, you know, this disease in his leg. They call it al-akala. Some disease that is really spread fast, and the only way you gotta cut the leg. If you don't cut the leg, now it's gonna spread up and this and keep going. So the ruler then, they told him, listen, ya Urwa, you gotta cut it. The doctor says you gotta cut it. He said, go ahead, you cut it, no problem. Alright? So when they come to cut it, the doctor says, we give you some alcoholic drink, so beverage, so we can, you know, take away your conscience, so that we're going to cut it now. There was no anesthesia in there and stuff, okay? So we're going to give you some wine or some alcohol beverage, because it will take away your consciousness. So because how are they going to do that? How are they going to cut the thing? With the knife to cut the meat, the flesh, and then they're going to sew it with a saw. This man said, what? You want me to take something that take my consciousness away? Oh, I can't do that. There's no way I'm going to allow my consciousness to go for a minute. I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said to the doctor, do your job, man. Don't worry about me. This man, they cut him and saw him and didn't even say something. Nothing. Hey. Some of us, man, he bumped his head against nothing. Hey. He called sick. I ain't coming. Hey. They says the only way when he fainted for a moment, when they brought this boiling oil, to stop the blood. That's when he fainted. SubhanAllah. Patience, ya Ikhwan. And then, and look at the tribulation, look at the trials. You think like you've been through some trial. Look at the trials of the past, of the Salaf. And he has his youngest son with him, Abdul Rahman. And his son, he likes horses. He went to check some horses. One horse kicked him and he died. The man lost his son and his leg. SubhanAllah. That's a test. Somebody lost $10. Now he's mad for 6 days. Everybody in the house now, nobody talk to me until you find it, man. Put this house upside down. I don't care. I need my money. This is a test. A real test. And then when he was like that, he looked at his foot, as the Imam al-Dhahabi mentioned, he looked at his foot and he says, Allah knows that I never, ever, ever went anywhere with you to something that is haram or in disobedience to Allah. Allah Akbar. Can any one of us make that statement? May Allah have mercy on us.
Amen.
Amen. He says, Allah knows that I never ever walked with you in anything that is haram or in disobedience to Allah. And then he says, oh Allah. Now he's thanking Allah. So Allah, you gave me four limbs, meaning the two hands, two arms and two legs. And now you took one and you left, mashallah, alhamdulillah, you left three. Allahu Akbar. And then he says, you gave me like maybe four or six children and you took one and you left like three or five. He's thanking Allah for those things, for those calamities. And then when he returned to Medina, some people, they came to, you know, they know what happened to him. And they were like, they console him, you know, be patient in this. But what the best of all those people to do that, one of the mashayikh, I forget his name, and he said to him, alhamdulillah, Allah took your leg, but alhamdulillah, he keep for us what we need from you. Your ilm, your knowledge, your brain. Allah Akbar. He says, alhamdulillah, Allah took your leg. Be patient, but we thank Allah that he have left with you that which we are in dire need of from you, your knowledge. Allah Akbar. Look at how the people, they think, akhi. Look how they think. When he was still in Iraq with the ruler, when the ruler saw that Urwa, he went through all these calamities and this test, he said to him, listen, a man came, a man who was blind, just, he's still in pains, you know, he's just been afflicted. Alright? And he said his story to the ruler. Because he said to the man, subhanAllah, take him to Urwa to tell him what this man went through. So Urwa will know that, hey, yes, you lost your leg and your son. What is somebody else that is, he just been tested way, way worse than you. What is the story of this man? This man, he was coming in a valley amongst people. His family, his wives, children. And he's wealthy, this man has a lot of wealth. And they come in, moving, they going somewhere. And they camp, they in the nighttime, they camp somewhere. While they were asleep, a flood, water came. Out of nowhere. Water came and took everybody. As for him, he was the only one saved. And one of his camels, and one of his babies. One baby, that's it, little baby. Everybody is gone, his family dead, everything washed off by the rain, by the water. His property. He looked, and he saw that one of his camel property was over there. He put his baby down on the ground. He went to get the camel. As soon as he get by the camel, he heard the screaming of the baby. He turned. He saw that his baby in the mouth of a wolf. And he took off. And at that time, he got struck by the camel in the eyes and lost his eyesight. He lost his family, his wealth, everything. SubhanAllah. So the ruler said to them, take him to Urwa to tell him that there is other people from the servants of Allah that have been afflicted more severely than you, so that he bring him some consolation or something like that. So I want to share that with you, barakallahu feekum. Because this is from the stories of a salaf, alright? We don't just follow them in lihya or in thawb or izar. Follow them in everything. The hardship they went through and how they act. not when things are going our way. Oh, Salaf, Salaf, Alhamdulillah, Salafiyya. And when Allah tests us, some people don't even come to the masjid. Not seen. 3 weeks later, what happened, akhi? Oh man, I was going through some stuff, man. What that mean? Anybody who go through some stuff, maybe nobody gonna be here in the masjid. This place maybe be closed. Everybody go through some stuff. And beside the point, what is better when you be going through some stuff? You stay alone, you be with your brothers. What is better? You be with your brothers, because alhamdulillah, you change the air and they give you like comfort and they strengthen you and the like. Because if you're going through stuff and then you stay alone, man, you make it difficult on yourself. No, if you're going through stuff, you want to come to the house of Allah. Spend more time in the house of Allah. Don't stay alone. As the Prophet ﷺ, he says, إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُ الذِّئْبُ مِنَ الْغَنَمِ الْقَاسِيَةِ. The wolf eats the lonely sheep, the one that stays way by itself. You think that the wolf is going to go inside and pat them and see which one fat and stuff? No. He's going to go and get the one that stays by itself. Likewise, the shaitan. That's easy for him to do. If somebody Muslim stays by himself, away from the Muslims, from the jama'ah, from the masjid, from the classes, shaitan got him in his pocket, like we say in our terms. Ray Sajid? Alhamdulillah. I was just going to say to you, do you know shaitan has a pocket? I was waiting for you to ask me, wait a minute, the shaitan has a pocket. I said, like in our terms. In our terms, we say, I got you in my pocket. You know what that means? If you have money in your pocket, what that mean? You got it. Huh? There you go. It's not like when you put it over here, right? The same thing. We say if somebody have control over the shaitan, if shaitan have a control over somebody, what does that mean? Like he has him in? There you go. You just said it, see? Tayyib. Jameer. You with us, right? How old are you again? 6 years old. Barakallah. Shaitan is a good person or bad person? Why is he bad? You're right. Why is he bad? You don't know? He's just bad. If you say about someone is bad, you're going to know. Let me ask you a question. Cigarette. Smoking cigarette is good or bad? Why is bad? Huh? From shaitan. Ah, yes. Smart answer. MashaAllah. Barakallahu fik, Jameel. Jazakallahu khair. Nah. Shaitan is bad because he tells us to do bad things. Alright? He invites us always to do things that is no good for us. Allah tells us to do good things. The Prophet ﷺ commands us to do good things, but the shaitan come and say, no, come on man, I got something good for you, come this way. He take you, you know, Allah tells us, get from the front door, shaitan wants you to jump from the window. You know what I'm saying? There you go. Alhamdulillah. And that's true, Yahwan. I'll tell you an example. Some people, they complain. Right or wrong? Some people, they complain, man, his wife ain't listening to him, the children, man, they acting up, and this, right? And he's blaming it on them, on, well, I don't know, on this country, on, I don't know, he blaming it on CNN, on all this stuff, Jazeera. But then that same brother, he has Isbel. Huh? He's dragging his pants. What that mean? He's disobeying Allah. What the Prophet ﷺ said about the person who have isbal, the man who wears his pants, thobe or izar below his ankles. He's in the hellfire. So now here is this man bringing the fire into his house, and he's like, where did the smoke come from? Where did the smoke come from? Right or wrong? SubhanAllah. He's disobeying Allah. And he's like, why my wife disobey me? Why my children acting up? Get it together, man. See? Get it together. طيب. And in the hadith of Asma, so that was the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says to them, would you kill a man for saying my Lord is Allah? And in the hadith of Asma radiallahu anha, it was says the people shouted to Abu Bakr, go to your companion. So he left us. That's her father, okay, Asma. So he left us. And he had four plaits in his hair. Plaits. Plaits?
No.
Plaits, huh? A-I-T-S?
No.
Okay, Zakumullah Khan. Correct me, huh? He had four plaits in his hair. He left and he was saying, woe to you. Would you kill a man for saying, my Lord is Allah? So they left him and came towards Abu Bakr, who returns to us, vowing that he would not touch his plaits until he came back with him. On another occasion, he was praying, the Prophet ﷺ was praying near the house, mean the Kaaba, when a group of their notable saw him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of them came to him with the intestines of a slaughtered animal and threw them on his back. Okay? They knew his truthfulness and his honesty, and that what he brought was the truth. And they know that. But as Allah Most High says, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. It is not you that they deny, but it is the verses, meaning the Quran, the verses of Allah that the ظالمون, polytheists and wrongdoers deny. They deny the ayats of Allah. Not you, they know you. Because they know him. The Prophet ﷺ, he's not an angel. Allah didn't send to them an angel or send another man from another planet or from another country. No, they know this man. They know his family, his father, his mother, his lineage, the best lineage, they know that. They know his akhlaq, his man, that this man never lied, never did anything bad. And they called him the trustworthy. They trust him in everything. Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, has reported that Abu Jahl and a group of his supporters, including Al-Akhnas ibn Sharif, heard the recitation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam one night. And Al-Akhnas said to Abu Jahl, O Abu al-Hakam, what is your opinion regarding what you have heard from Muhammad? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now they heard the Quran. He says, what is your opinion? He said, we and Banu Abdi Manaf, Ash-Sharaf, competed against each other. Remember before in the previous classes that the tribes of the Arabs, Quraysh consists of different tribes. They were upon shirk, but they did good things. Okay? They were very generous. They have a high standard of hospitality. And they used to compete one another to do these things. It's not because they're making money of it. They compete with another man. No, I want to take care of the guests. Now we take care of the guests. They almost kill each other for these things. Subhanallah. So that's what Abu al-Hakam is saying. Abu Jahl, he says, us and them, meaning our tribe and their tribe, we competed each other for years, many years. Our forefathers competed their forefathers. And we still competed with them in what? Listen to this, Ya Akhwan. We competed against each other. We fed and they fed. See? So we fed the people, they fed the people too. We helped, meaning the needy, the whatever, the distressed, they helped too. We gave, meaning charity and all that, and they gave until we fell on our knees. And we were like two horses in a race, meaning two horses are still running. And now they says, there is amongst us a prophet to whom revelation comes from the heaven. How can we compete with this? He's saying, look, man, whenever they did something, we did it. All right. They slaughtered 500 camels. Okay, we're going to find 500 camels and slaughter it too. They gave charity. We're giving charity. They're taking care of this. We're taking care of this. He says, but no, man, they're saying that from them there is a messenger, a prophet, who received revelation. We can compete with them in this one. You see? He said, how can we compete with this? By Allah, we will never listen to him and we will never believe him. See, that's how. Okay? We continue after the adhan, inshallah ta'ala. Now, in another narration, it was said, verily, I know, Abu Jahl saying, I know that what he says is the truth. Says, I know, verily I know that what he says is the truth. But Banu Qusay said, do we not have that in Nadwa? This is when they deliberate and they make decisions. Do we want to go war with some people, or they want to like do this or do this? We said yes. They said, and do we not have al-hijaba? This is another thing, another function that they used to do for the pilgrims and the like. We said yes. They said, and do we not have as-siqaya? As-siqaya meaning they provide water for the pilgrims, especially and the guests of the house of Allah. Because the mushrik, they will still do the hajj in their way. Okay? They said yes. We said yes. And he mentioned the rest of the hadith, meaning now they, after this, now they says they have a prophet from them. Where are we going to bring a prophet from us? See, subhanAllah, people, they reject the haqq because of these statements, based on analogy, based on what they think is right for them. ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء. Who chose the Prophet ﷺ to be a prophet? It's not some country or some tribe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know? So likewise, this may apply on us. Alright? So you're somewhere in a community, and because some shaitan is very, very, very diligent. And he works hard, shaitan, to misguide people. But he has no power, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. He has no power upon the believers. Except for those who follow him. Shaitan, he only invites people. Of course, his invitation, unlike any others. Gonna make sure to do some work on it. But we should stick to the truth. Alright? Some people, subhanAllah, ta'assub. Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhahu Ta'ala, I read for him a book on the Dhammu Ta'assub. To go to extreme on being on this way or the other way. And that's what brings division amongst the communities and stuff. So much so that certain people, they like, okay, well, we here, but why he's the imam? He's not one of us. What do you mean he's not one of us? You know what it means with that? Because he's not one of us, they look at the skin, the color, or they look at the tribe, or the citizenship. You know what I'm saying? That's very wrong, man. The imam, if he's upon the sunnah, alhamdulillah, and he has manners, and he doesn't come from his own mind and start saying crazy stuff, doesn't matter where you're from. Black, white, Spanish, Bangladesh, I don't know where. Arab, non-Arab, doesn't matter who he is. Does it matter? Does not. As long what matter what he says, what he's upon, what's his aqidah, what's his manhaj. But for certain people to just say, no, why he got to be in there? Why he got to do it? Or why he got to have this job and I don't have this job? Oh yeah, because he's one of them. No, all that stuff is from shaitan. It's from shaitan. And that's how the shaitan used these tricks to destroy communities. To destroy communities. Sometimes you find in a masjid, maybe, I don't know, the masjid need to be painted, for example. And they say, listen, man, we're going to, alhamdulillah, everybody wants to do it, but this is a big place, for example. Man, not this. This doesn't need no paint, alhamdulillah, so far. But this is a big place. It's a masjid and a school and a lot of other stuff. They say, listen, whoever going to do this job, we're going to pay them, inshallah, okay? But we want to... But then there is in the community, maybe in that community, this diverse community like ours. I'm just giving an example, by the way. Huh? And they may... Okay, there is African Americans, there is Arabs, Caucasians, Pakistanis, Koreans, Indians, Spanish, Serbian, Albanians, what else?
Bosnians.
Bosnians. Who? Maybe, I don't know. Italians. And then, okay now. And all of these people, they painters, they know how to paint. So now, if the job was given to one of these, the other people get mad? They shouldn't get mad. Then why they should get mad? They should be happy that one of their brothers is doing it. Shouldn't get mad at all. But the shaitan is going to make you get mad and feel like that way. Oh yeah, they give it to him, yeah, because you're not. Yeah, because they just give it to their people. What do you mean the people? You might find the brothers in the administration from African Americans and they give it to Bosnians. They're their people? Okay, based on what? Now, this Caucasian guy, he felt bad because, once again, I'm giving an example, okay? No editing on this one. So don't build the scissors and cut everything. No. Now, that Caucasian brother or Pakistani, he's like, well, see, they give it to the Bosnian because he's people. Based on, if he thinks like he's been left because of his nationality, what do you mean African Americans and Bosnian, they have the same nationality? I don't think so. But the shaitan make everything seems right to certain people, even if it's wrong. Now they see it the way the shaitan want them to see it. Now we need to see it the way that Allah wants us to see it. Shaitan, yes, he's doing his work. Do you have a control over the shaitan? No, you don't. Shaitan gonna do his things, let us do our things. That's what we come here for. Shaitan do his things, what do? We continue to do our things, to worship Allah and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah for protection and for ask Allah to forgive us. But if we stop doing this and just like wait for the shaitan, I'm waiting for him. Waiting for who? Do you see the shaitan? Jamir, you see shaitan? No, you don't see him. But he sees you. He sees us. So how we protect ourselves from shaitan? Naeem? La ilaha illallah. Ahsan, tawheed. What else, Sajid? Hey, ayat al-kursi, hafidhakallah, before you go to bed. Naam, what else? Isti'adah from the shaitan, na'am.
Knowledge.
Na'am. Seeking knowledge, na'am. What else?
Taqwa
of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else? Dua. Asking Allah to protect you from shaitan, na'am. What else?
Good companions.
Ahsan. Keep good companions. Companions that remind you of Allah, not companions that make the shaitan job easy against you. What else? Iman, dhikr, remembrance of Allah, inshallah ta'ala. And salah too. Alright, and it's time for the salah. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, shahadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.